lunch and just sharing and talking, and he has to sing to Singapore tomorrow, and he'll be playing in several large venues, churches. So keep him in prayer. God has given him a beautiful and wonderful gift to share in a variety of ways. We're praying about maybe we're working on a Macau outreach again to China next year, and so we were talking about that and with our basketball outreach, and then also bringing him and doing musical outreach as well. And he's never played in China. He has played in a place near Hong Kong, rather, but not on Macau and so forth. So we're going to pray about that and work on that, see what the Lord has there. He's played all over the world. He goes to Czechoslovakia, he was sharing with me in Prague and different places. And they don't go to church in Czechoslovakia, but they'll come to hear him play. And so it's an avenue. Thousands will come out. You know, 15,000-25,000 people will come out to hear the classical guitar. And then he wolves in the message of Christ throughout the music. So it's really a beautiful talent on how God uses his gift to reach souls for Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Rodrigo, and we pray for him and his family. You watch over them, protect them, and guide them. Lord, may you just bless him mightily and abundantly as he goes to Singapore and other places, Lord God, throughout this year and throughout the world. And if it's your will for us to work together in next year, Lord, so be it. And may you put it all together for your glory and honor and praise. Lord, speak to us now as we get into your word. Help us to learn. Help us to grow in the faith, what it means to love you with all of our mind. So, Lord God, we pray your blessings upon your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. Man, I tell you, it's such a peaceful feeling listening to him play the guitar and enjoying it, and makes me so mellow. Anyway, where I'm usually hyper. But anyway, tonight, as we continue our series, part four, it is Loving the Lord Our God series and loving one another. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We've talked about loving the Lord our God. Who is the God that we love? What is he all about? Secondly, we talked about what does it mean to love God with all of our heart. Thirdly, we talked about what it means to love God with all your soul. And now we want to love God with all of our mind. To love God with our mind, the Bible has a lot to say about our mind in loving him and how to think properly and to live properly and in the Lord. I came across some jokes about the brain by neuroscientists, of all things, as I was studying the mind and the brain. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. Neuroscientists, you know, they're pretty brainy people, right? What is a sleeping brain's favorite musical group or rock band? REM. REM sleep, you got it? Okay, all right, hang in there. Yeah, these are neuroscientists, okay? What does a brain do when it sees a friend across the street? It gives a brain wave. Oh boy, hang in there. What do neurons use to talk to each other? A cellular phone. Okay, one more. Hang in there. There's actually about 15, but some of them are like some real scientific jargon here. Last one. What do you call a skull without 1 billion neurons? A no-brainer. Okay. probably if you're a neuroscientist, you're just like laughing it up right now, going crazy. But it is what it is. What does it mean to love God with all your mind? God is in his magnificent creation, you know, the heart, the soul, the mind. What an beautiful, incredible work he's put in this skull of ours. It's a brain, but it's the mind. Understanding the mind, the part of a person that thinks and reasons. Four separate Greek words account for nearly all instances of mind in the New Testament. They all mean much the same thing, such as understanding, thought, mind, reason. While today we think of a person's mind in a morally neutral way, in the New Testament, the mind was clearly thought of as either good or evil. Interesting. You've heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. What do you fill your mind with on a daily basis? Negatively, the mind may be hardened, the Bible says, hardened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, we read the following. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. Because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The mind can be hardened. We also read last week that the heart can be hardened. People's minds can become hardened against God, against the message of Christ. We also know that the mind can be blinded, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Paul writes, but even if our gospel, the good news, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, little g, Satan, he is the god of this age. Man doesn't worship the true and living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who gave his son Jesus Christ. But mankind worships Satan. How do I know that? Because as a sinner, we follow the characteristics of Satan. We follow the ways of sin, not the ways of sanctification, not the ways of holiness, but rather of rebellion, of wickedness, of vileness, of perversions. The Bible says, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan blinds people's minds with all the things of this world and all the things of the flesh. Next Sunday morning, we'll be talking about the temptation of Christ as Satan came to Jesus and tempts him with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which he blinds people with. I don't need God. What do I need God for? My friend, how did you get here? Why are you here on planet Earth? And where are you going when you die? There's more to life than just the here and now. There's a spiritual realm that you, your mind and your heart need to be open to. It's just not the physical. It's just not the material. He blinds us with perversities, lust of the flesh, all kinds of immoralities, living for self and sexual gratifications. Wall Street and Hollywood all know how to market us, to allure us with our flesh and our lust of the eyes. So we buy all their products or live according to their songs and purchase their songs because they come into our mind and we gravitate them in this way of lust. Same thing with movies. Satan blinds us from knowing Christ. Then the moment you come to Christ, all of a sudden the blindness is removed. And you're able to see clearly. There is a God. He did make me. He made all of us. He's got a great plan for us. And there is a heaven. I discovered that before Christ, I lived in my own bubble. But when you come to Christ, I came to Christ everything blew up in a good way. Now you see the whole plan of God and why the world is in such a mess. So many times people are so blinded by Satan that when something evil happens in our world or to their own lives, they're always shaking their fist at God. Why'd you do this, God? Instead of recognizing that it's our sins that have caused all these problems. This is not God's world. This isn't God's creation. This is Satan's world. It is fallen. It serves him. People say, well, if God's such a good God, how come there's so many starving people in the world and so forth? Well, if we'd stop making all these weapons to kill each other and all these drugs that we're destroying each other with, maybe we should just reach out and help one another. So be it. So why are we blaming God for this? He provides the food, the water, the air, the sun, the photosynthesis, all the things that happen, you know, for all the plants to grow. It's all there. All we have to do is plant it, cultivate it, and help one another. But we don't do that, do we? Because we're blinded by self. And yet people are always blaming God, and God's provided all things. The Bible says we reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap everlasting life. We're blinded. The Bible says also that our minds can be corrupted. 2 Timothy 3:8-9. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. This corrupt mind, there are people who will come into the church and they'll corrupt the message of Christ. They'll corrupt the Bible itself. They'll corrupt it with their own commentaries or writings or teachings, like Joseph Smith or Russell. Joseph Smith with the Mormons and Russell with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Joseph Smith says that he gives this Adam God theory, where you're going to get your own planet, you're going to be your own Adam, and you're getting all these wives, you're going to impregnate them, and you're going to populate your own planet. That's nowhere found in the Bible. The Bible says that you are not going to be a god. The Bible says that you're going to be the bride of Christ. It's important for us to realize that the Word of God is corrupted by false religious teachers. Heresies get into the church. Heresy of materialism. To think God is your genie. He's going to just provide for you and do all these things for you because you get to order him around. Are you going to get rich being a Christian? The Bible says there will be those that come into the church to exploit you with covetousness. It's the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not what? Covet. So we have to watch out for those who try to come in and corrupt our minds by mischievously changing the Word of God. The Bible also says not only can our mind be hardened and blinded and corrupted, but also our mind can become debased. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is a very powerful passage. I won't read the whole passage. We've studied it many times, but it's talking about ungodliness and unrighteousness and those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. It talks about those who will worship the creation instead of the Creator. It talks about that they will come to us with false ideas and ideologies. And also talks to us about people's lives will be so corrupted that they will not want to live according to the way God designed humanity, where man would be with a woman. Instead, men will lust for men and women with women. So it says in verse 24 of chapter 1, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. One of those penalties of their error is AIDS, diseases. When you live in sexual immorality, you very likely will get some type of venereal disease. And God says, I don't want you to have that. Live the way I created you. One man, one woman, for marriage, for life. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, their mind, their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fulfilling. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, who have a lifestyle of such things, are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The Bible says there comes a point in time where God says, you want to keep going that way? Then go ahead. You will produce a debased mind. Mind that will be filled with all kinds of filth and immoralities. And Satan uses all this filth and immoralities through movies and the internet and so on and so forth. And he's filling the minds of all kinds of people. We're living in a very debased and a society of debauchery today, more than ever before. Our poor children in this generation. Truly, these are the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the days of Noah. What does God call us to do? To bring truth and morality and righteousness and godliness into people's hearts and minds. You, Jesus said, are the light of the world. They're living in darkness. They're living in corruption. You and I have to deliver the message to share with them the love of God. On the positive side, the Christian mind is to be renewed. Renewed. We're told in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. You know, we have this problem within us that we always want to be accepted or acknowledged with the rest of the world. My dear friend, as a Christian, that's not who we are. You're no longer a part of this world. You know, not of this world sticker we see all over the place. I like that. We're not of this world. We're children of God. We're citizens of heaven. And God has called us to stand up and to stand strong. He says, but rather have your mind be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't know about you, but I picked up a lot of filth in this world. A lot of garbage, a lot of false ideas. So now I need to go to the Word of God, the Word of truth, and have my mind completely transformed. I come across, even today, there's Christians, they believe in evolution. I go, how can you believe in evolution and read the Bible? Well, I just think maybe he just did it that way, you know, because scientific evidence. I said, there is no scientific evidence for evolution. What? I was taught that in my biology class and my classes growing up, you know, in high school and the university and so forth. It's not scientific evidence. These are all theories. Theories without the evidence of any transitional forms. One species becoming another species. Evolving. There is nothing there. It's an empty bag. It's full of hot air. Of people who don't want to believe in God. The fossil records would coincide with the flood of Noah's day. That's what happened. Why do you find fossils of fish and so forth on the top of mountains? Some guy just decided, I think I'll grab a bunch of fish and walk up there and carry them all the way up to the top of this mountain and drop them off? No, they were placed there because of the great flood of Noah's day. All the strata and the layers is because of the flood. All this massive amounts of earth being moved by tremendous water flow. There were volcanic eruptions, there was great earthquakes, There's all this water flow that was going on. When you have a massive flood, tremendous amounts of dirt is moved. Boulders, rocks, mountains. It's amazing. But anyway, they want us to believe that we evolved. No. We're to have our minds renewed. We're to be transformed. You are no longer living as a homosexual. That's a sexual lifestyle you've chosen. You're never born a homosexual. It's impossible to be born a homosexual. You choose a sexual lifestyle. They want us to embrace that they're like another race of people that we're being prejudiced against. Bigots. Since when does a sexual choice become a race of people? It doesn't make any sense. But this is the corruption, the blindness, the hardness, the debaseness of the human mind. And that mind must be transformed. When you come to Christ, it's transformed by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's His truth that sets us free. You will be free indeed as you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells you the truth. It is your authority now. Not what the world says, because they brainwash you. Over and over and over again, they hammer us with all these things of what they believe. But truth is found in the Word of God. The Bible says that our minds are to be pure. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Peter writes, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own what?" So in the last days, mockers and scoffers against God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, Christians will come because they walk according to their own lusts. And saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that the word of God, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what we learned this morning, repentance. From unbelief to belief, from living for sin to now living for the Savior, according to the Word of God. The Bible says also that we are to have God's laws implanted into our mind. Hebrews 8:10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I need the law of God. I need the ways of God. I need the Word of God implanted into my mind. I encourage people in scripture memorization. Read again and again and again, over and over. Get it implanted into your heart and into your mind. So when you face situations in life, the Holy Spirit has something to draw from. The Bible says it is the job of the Holy Spirit to bring scriptures to our remembrance. But if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not learning the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God, then you've shortchanged yourself. You face that situation, that trial against the devil, and you're saying, "God, where are you? Where have you been?" is the real question. Where have you been in regards to learning the Word of God? God will give you the way out by the Word of God speaking to your heart so that you know what to do. But if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to know what to do. It's like someone picking up you need a weapon, and you pick it up, and because you got to defend yourself, and you pick it up, and it's a squirt gun. Stop! You're not going to kill me. Look, your face is all wet. Are you serious? When I was in Las Vegas with my sister and her husband and all that was going on, and he passed away, you know, and my other sister from Nashville flew in, so I went to the airport to pick her up, her and her husband, and they're 10 years older than me, and her husband's about 8 years older than her. I think he's about 80. And so got him into the car, and I was in the parking lot at the Las Vegas airport, and the side door was open, the passenger side, and her husband and I were over on this side of the car by the driver's side. My sister had just gotten in the front seat, and all of a sudden this guy shows up without a shirt, and he's there in the car, almost in the car. And he says, he looks around, and he says, and then I look at him because I see him now. He didn't see me because I was kind of on the side. And also I look and I see him. I look at him, and he goes, I go, what do you want? Because, you know, this guy's got no shirt on. He looks like a drug addict, okay, all right? And he goes, someone's trying to kill me. I got to get in your car. You got to take me away. I said, that's not happening here, man. He goes, oh, okay, and he took off. I knew, also I figured out what he was doing. It was a ploy. Because the door was open in the back, but there was nothing in the back seat. But if there was something in the back seat, he probably would have grabbed the bag and took off running. That's how they operate. But man, like, he came out of nowhere. We always have to be on our guard. You just don't know what's going to happen in life. Philippians, or rather, the Bible declares we're to put on the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that you're born again of the Holy Spirit, and now you're learning about Jesus, you now have the mind of Christ. His mind is coming into you, transforming your mind. So many times people say, well, I am the way I am because of my parents, and that's just how it is, you know. And they've been a Christian for 15 years already. Maybe it's time to say, you know, the Bible says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And realize that you're a new creation in Christ. Maybe it's time to say, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on to the high calling of God. There comes a point in time we all have to stop blaming everybody else for the way we are. And we got to own our life. You can blame your wife, like Adam. You can blame your husband. You can blame your upbringing. You can blame your race. You know, I'm a hot-headed whatever. That's why I lose my temper all the time. Hot-headed Italian or Portuguese or, you know, Samoan, Hawaiian, you know, Holly dude. Whatever. Hey. You lose your temper because you lose your temper. Own it. And say, Lord, I need to change. I need self-control. That's reality. We're to put on the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5-11, Paul writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us. He says, let this mind be in you. Let it be in you. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He humbled himself as a bond servant. He came and he served us. Amen? In other words, God wants us to serve Him, and God wants us to serve each other, to bless each other, to help each other. The daily chores of life. Are you a bond servant of Jesus Christ? Do you serve your wife, gentlemen?
Well, I don't serve my wife. I'm the king of the castle here. I'm the king.
No. The greatest of all is the servant of all. Be an example. Serve your beautiful honey. Serve her, love her, cherish her, value her, and you'll be a blessed man. Ladies, serve your husband. Bless him. Start with food. It's always good to start with food. All right. Bible also says we have a unity of mind. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I'm not always right. I know that. God's always right. We all make mistakes. As a husband and wife, especially in a relationship, as a husband and wife, have the same mind toward one another. The goal of marriage counseling is to get the husband to have the mind of Christ and the wife to have the mind of Christ. And then they can be of what's called one accord. They go down here to Tony Honda. They buy a Honda Accord. Now, must have been those neuro jokes that I told earlier. But anyway, but you're of one mind. In other words, you look at life through the same eyes because your eyes are the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God. It's that way with raising your children. It's that way in knowing God. It's that way in serving and loving each other, blessing each other. You're in unity. Peter writes also in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you, be of one mind. All of you, all of us as a church, be of one mind in home, in church. He says, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Guys, be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted, not hard-hearted, tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Well, I want to inherit a blessing. Then he says, bless one another, and God will bless you. Don't do evil to each other. Even if someone does evil to you, don't do evil back to them. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, have brotherly love, be compassionate towards each other. Let's be of one mind with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Loving God with all of our mind. Jesus shares with us in Matthew 21, quickly turn there, about a change of mind. A change of mind. I like this. It's okay to change your mind when it comes to doing the right things of God. There's times in our lives we recognize we've been living wrong or doing wrong, and we say, you know what? I need to change my mind. I need to change my way of speaking, my way of living. I need to change because it's wrong what I've been doing. The Bible says there in verse 23, now when Jesus came to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then do you not believe in him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. Because John, the Baptist, is pointing to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? What do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. rebellious kid. He says, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe in him. Believe him. You see, we've had a change of mind, a change of heart, as we have turned from sin and turned to Christ. That's the best change of mind you could ever have. Jesus teaches on spiritual warfare in the mind. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, Matthew, Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Then he came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his what? Right mind. And they were afraid. They should have been rejoicing. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. When he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Now he had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. The man was out of his mind because of demon possession. Now he's come to his right mind because of the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. He was delivered and set free. The Bible talks about also that we have a peace, we can have a peace, how to have a peace of mind. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, we read the following. Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. He trusts in God. Your mind is stayed on God. You know that God's always going to take care of you, today, tomorrow, and forever. And thus you have peace of mind in the Lord. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, he says, be anxious for nothing. The literal translation in the Greek is, stop worrying about even one little thing. How many of us worry about things in life all the time, right? I can't sleep. I'm so worried about it. He says, stop worrying about one little thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and what else? Your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, there's so many times I've worried about things, been anxious about things and so forth, stressed out about things, and you lose sleep or you just can't eat or whatever it is, you feel depressed and all this. Now, you need to go to prayer and just lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you for this. You know, give it to the Lord, let him take over. Now, all of a sudden, things begin to slowly but surely work themselves out, and all of a sudden, the thing is rectified and fixed and done. And then you ask yourself, okay, I lost 3 nights sleep. Did my losing sleep change anything in this whole process? Not one iota. I was stressed out, and I was taking it out on my wife or my kids or whatever, on other people. Did that help the situation at all? Not one iota. So he says, trust me, live for me. I will take care of business. Be at peace. Be at peace. Right now, some of you, you're stressed out, you're worried about things. Take it to God in prayer. You can't fix it right now. It's out of your control. Take it to God in prayer. Lord, I trust you with this. It's out of my hands. I put it in your hands. And I'll do my very best. It's in your hands. Take care of it. Prayer is a powerful tool for the mind. The Bible also talks about being double-minded. And how do we overcome double-mindedness? James writes to us, he says in James 1:68, but let him or her ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In other words, by faith, trust God. Lord, you've got it. I'm going to you in prayer. I'm believing you. I'm trusting you for this. Let God do the work, and he'll do it. But don't be double-minded. You give it to the Lord, you take it back from the Lord. You try to figure everything out yourself. You're yakking and doing all this stuff. You know, instead of couples fighting with each other all the time, husband and wife fighting with each other, maybe just go to prayer and just love each other. Wouldn't that be a good solution? Go to prayer, love each other, serve each other, bless each other, instead of always arguing about everything. So you can get the upper hand on the other one. Live the Christ life. Put on the Christ mind. T.W. Hunt writes, a double-minded person is restless and confused in his thoughts, his actions, and his behavior. Such a person is always in conflict with himself. One torn by such inner conflict can never lean with confidence on God and his gracious promises. Correspondingly, the term unstable is analogous to a drunken man unable to walk a straight line, swaying one way, then another. He has no defined direction and as a result doesn't get anywhere. Such a person is unstable in all he does. God will not grant his blessings upon those who are double-minded. As Jesus pointedly declared, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. In other words, go to God in prayer, go to the Word, trust God, let him take over, have faith. God will take care of business. Things will just begin to line themselves up. The Bible also teaches us to take our thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The Bible tells us we're to pull down these strongholds. Sometimes there's a grip on our thought life, and we need to recognize, where do I find truth? I find truth in the Word of God. What does it say? What does the Bible say? I must follow it at all costs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path or your steps. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones, health to your nervous system. And lean not to your own understanding. Follow God. Trust God. Engage in that spiritual warfare. If there's something that has a stronghold on you that you just constantly are thinking about and it's not right, then you got to go to the Word again and say, no, I will no longer believe that. I will no longer follow that. That is not of the Word of God. And it's done. I'm finished with it. I will follow what God says. If God says not to be unequally yoked, are you going to continue to fill your mind with that person you're not supposed to be unequally yoked with? To be with that non-believer? If that relationship doesn't work out, are you going to be obsessed with that person? Or you say, the relationship did not work out, God, I give it to you because you know just the very right person that I'm to be with and to marry and to live with for the rest of my life. Because you trust God. You believe in God. Not to be a, don't make another person your worship, your God. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Let it go already. She's a sister in Christ. She's a sister in Christ. He's a brother in Christ. That's how you're to look at one another. Don't be kissing your brother or your sister before marriage. Amen? That's gross. When you get married, then all's good. You're now husband and wife. There's a daily mind practice we need to have. Philippians 4, 8 to 9 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. What are we thinking about all the time? Are we thinking about right things, noble things, pure things, admirable things, praiseworthy things, true things? If so, good mindset. Good mindset. That's a mind practice every day. Put your mind into practice. Two more. God will reward your mindset. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. God says, I search the heart and examine the mind. Let's be sold out to God. Amen. Let's live for the Lord. Let's be committed to him. Let's do good deeds. By your good deeds, you're going to glorify your Father, which is heaven, and God will bless you. Amen. I'll end with this. God is thinking of you. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God's thoughts towards us are good. He wants to bless his children. He wants to help your life. He wants you to believe in him and to trust in him in all things of life. Let him be your God. Let him be your Savior. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the teachings on the mind as believers in Christ. We want to have a pure mind. We want to have a loving mind. We want to love you. We want your ways to be within our mind. Lord, we don't want to follow the things of this world. We don't want to follow the philosophies of this world, the sinfulness, the wickedness, the vileness, the corruption of this world. We want to be filled with you. So, Lord, may our minds be set upon you. May we seek you in prayer with all the things that are stressful and wearing us out and wearing us down because you're God. There's nothing impossible for you. You can move the mountains. You're with us. You love us. You cherish us. You love us so much. You died for us, and you love us now, and you want to help us each and every day of our life. Help us to put on the mind of Christ through the Word of God. If you're here tonight, you've never given your heart to Christ, and you want to get saved tonight, please raise your hand. Anybody here not saved, you need to get saved? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Father, may you anoint our hearts, our minds, our lives in you. May we serve you. May we love you. May we be a light to this world and salt to the earth. May all marriages be blessed and families met and blessed too, Lord. And may the Awana kids be blessed as they've had their first night of a new program in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's go for God. Love one another, guys. God bless.